Our scripture lesson is John chapter 15. As we follow the fruit of the Spirit, remember life in the Spirit, you are filled then with the fruit of the Spirit, namely love, joy, and it is that virtue that we are going to look at this evening from John's Gospel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things they command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, and ye know that it hated me before it hated you, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law, they've hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So far the reading of God's word. Our text is the 11th verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And Lord, add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word this evening. Love saints, we've been looking at life in the spirit. Life in the spirit contrasted to life in the flesh. Life in the spirit means that we enjoy the fruit of the spirit. And you'll remember that the Apostle Paul was writing that verse to the Galatian churches, in which there were factions, there was fighting. And he says, live now in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And there are nine of them mentioned there. When we look here at the fruit of the Spirit, notice it is the Spirit who is the Spirit of Christ. The fruit, then, is the life of Christ imparted and worked in us. Joy. Joy. When there is love, experience the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. That work, love worked in our hearts so that we love him, and we show that love by loving one another, and Jesus speaks of that in this chapter also, doesn't he? Then there will be joy. Joy in the Lord and joy amongst the saints. Not fighting, not bickering, not at each other's throats, eating and devouring each other, destroying each other, but rather building up one another in Christ Jesus. So notice with me then the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Joy attained, joy abiding, and joy abounding. That's how the verse breaks itself down, doesn't it? Jesus says, hearing these things and heeding these things that I've spoken unto you, my joy, your joy. How is this joy attained? What is this joy that he's speaking of? It's a spiritual and it's a heavenly joy. It's not temporal or fleeting. The people of the world have many joys or happinesses. They joy in the new car that they can ride around in. But anyone knows that that new car, after 5 or 10 years, there's one thing certain about that new car: it's going to have troubles. It's going to break down. The joy is temporal. And of course, there are those who are constantly looking for that new joy, and so they keep on buying new cars. Temporal. Or a house. Or other things. You boys and girls, maybe having gotten your school supplies, because school is going to start soon, you got a new outfit to wear. Oh, you think that outfit is wonderful. But after wearing it for several weeks, it's not new anymore, is it? Starts looking old. The joy's gone. So we're not talking about now the happiness that the world has, which is a fleeting, a temporary joy in things. The joy that Jesus is talking about is not some kind of emotional excitement that some people want a high in their life, and so they are looking for some kind of a mystical experience, and then they feel good. And they have the ups and the downs, which we all have ups and downs in our life. The joy that Jesus is talking about is not based at all on things, not earthly things. And it's not dictated by circumstances in our life. Because if one would look at the circumstances that Jesus is laying out here for his disciples, for those who follow Jesus, those circumstances can be very trying. He says, the world's going to hate you. As they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. What is it? It is the assurance of God's goodness and favor towards us in Jesus Christ. The assurance of God's goodness and favor or love to us in Jesus Christ. That's why they go together, isn't it? Love, therefore, joy. God's love to us, joy in that love. Our love to others and therefore joy in one another's company. Comfort that we belong to Him. The comfort, the knowledge, the joy of knowing that Christ atoned for our sins. The joy of knowing that the Father delights in us, His children. All children need that, don't they, in their homes, in their families. They need to know that father and mother delight in them, are thankful that God has given them as children to them. How terrible it is when children only see parents exasperated or wanting time out or treating the children as little nuisances. To be seen but not heard. It's a horrible business. As parents, we reflect our delight in our children because in us as fathers, then, the children know something about our heavenly Father's delight in His children. Now, Jesus says, my joy might remain in you. How do we have that joy? Well, the text says, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. What things? When he says these things, he's talking about all the stuff that comes in the first 10 verses before this in this chapter. Jesus, in these chapters here, is speaking to his disciples. He is letting them know that he is going to be leaving them. And they're saddened, they're troubled by that news, that Jesus is going to leave them. And that's why Jesus says in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, now believe also in me. He lays out then what things are going to take place, what's going to happen to them. But now in the beginning of this chapter especially, these things, what? Abide in me. Abide in me. Why should we abide in Christ Jesus? Well, because we're called to bear fruit, and you can't bear fruit on your own. It is only Christ Jesus dwelling in you. Abide in Christ Jesus because, second of all, then the virtues and the outlook and the aspirations of the Master will be those of the disciples also. Abide in Christ Jesus. Notice in this one little verse the emphasis, my joy, your joy. The joy of Jesus Christ is to be the joy of the disciple. So it's not the things of this world, but it is the things of the Father. The joy of Christ Jesus was the joy of pleasing His Father in heaven, of doing His Father's will. And that also then is to be our joy. what a wonderful thing when Jesus talks about my joy. That joy wasn't turned around by his suffering or any other circumstance in his life. No, he rejoiced in his hardships. As we read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Psalm 40, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. So what is this joy? It is a joy in the Lord. It is the Lord's joy himself. I think no other passage brings us into the inner life of Christ Jesus as much as that high priestly prayer in John 17. How he has glorified the Father with his whole life. He has glorified them in his disciples. And abiding then in his Father's love, even though his enemies hated him, he was a man of joy. Perhaps even for the disciples at times it seemed hard to believe. Didn't they know him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? But there's joy. And Jesus just talks about what that joy is. The joy of pleasing his Father and doing his will and glorifying his name. I delight to do thy will. He rejoiced in the prospect set before him that he was going to die on Calvary's cross for his Father to take away the wrath of the Father against us sinners. He endured the cross. What joy. When one reads Psalm 16, we need to see Christ in Psalm 16. There the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my joy rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And then you read in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What is the joy of Christ? Because he says, my joy. The joy of pleasing the Father and of doing his will. We saw that last week, didn't we? That's the purpose of loving one another, isn't it? The purpose of loving one another is that God may be glorified in his work in us and that others may be allured and provoked to study the truths of Christ because they see Christ dwelling in us. Jesus Christ, joy in his life. Man of sorrows, but joy because he was doing the Father's will. He was saving God's people. And he knew the joy that was set before him, that he would receive a crown after his suffering. For when he was raised from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and all things were given to him, and he rules forever. What is the joy? The joy of Christ is communion with his Father. I and my Father are one. And now, Jesus says, these things have I said unto you, that my joy may remain in you. Well, if it's going to remain in us, it has to first of all be in us so that joy is attained. How do we attain that joy? And Galatians 5 tells us. And Jesus ends this chapter really with that note. I'm leaving you, he says, but the Comforter is coming. the Spirit of truth, and he's going to lead you into these things that I have said unto you. He's going to open up their eyes. The Spirit is the worker. The Spirit is the one who brings this joy to the believer's heart. We said it's not like the hilarity of the world where they find it in things, but the Holy Spirit takes the virtues, the pleasures of Christ Jesus and works it in us, an inward happiness. The happiness of knowing that we belong to Christ Jesus and that we are an heir of eternal life. That joy comes from faith in Christ Jesus, a faith worked in our hearts and strengthened in our hearts by the Spirit through the Word. Oh, that joy is always mixed with sorrow, isn't it? There is sorrow over sin and our sinful nature. There's sorrow when there's sicknesses or pains, or there's sorrows when a loved child is going to leave the home. There's sorrow at the deathbed. But you'll remember that Paul writes there, 1 Thessalonians 4, we sorrow not as the world. Oh, we sorrow, but not as the world. What is it at the deathbed? Isn't the very knowledge that that loved one, whether it be a young child that's ripped out of our home or whether it be a dear parent that's taken away, the joy of knowing that Christ has come to take his saint home to be with himself? Yes, this joy overshadows all the sorrows of this life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Oh, the blessedness. Oh, the happiness. Oh, the pleasantness of belonging to Christ Jesus. So that's how the joy is attained. It is Christ's joy given to us, worked in us by the Spirit of Christ by faith. Faith united to Christ, so what is Christ is ours. His life, his love, his joy flows in our heart. Now, Jesus says in our text that my joy may remain in you. So it's not only a joy attained, but it is a joy abiding. And how does that joy abide in us when our circumstances change? And the answer is when we maintain communion with Christ and then we walk in obedience to his precepts. These things have I said unto you, that my joy may remain in you. When fellowship with Christ Jesus is broken, then joy disappears. David, the man after God's own heart. When he sinned and he did not confess it, that sin went on for about 10 months. And it's when God comes with his prophet Nathan and points out his sin and he confesses his sin. Then finally, the wretchedness of his soul is taken away. Oh, what pain sin brings. We read of it in David's Psalm, Psalm 32, in verses 3 and 4, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through their roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. When we do not abide in Christ Jesus, in fellowship with Christ Jesus, joy disappears. When Peter denied Jesus Christ, relying upon himself and his own strength when he was questioned by the guards and those around the fire that evening, he went out and he wept bitterly because he had denied the Lord. When fellowship with Christ is broken, when we walk willingly in sin, joy disappears. It evaporates like the dew of the morning. A child of God can only be miserable when he's away from Christ. Remember that then. You and I who have been at the Lord's table, you and I who have heard the last Sundays about that covenant meal, recognize and realize that we need Christ. We need Christ just as much for our daily life as we do for eternity. Too many look at Jesus Christ as the hope for the future. I can live my life as I want, but I want Jesus Christ so I can get to heaven. We need Christ Jesus for our everyday life. In our passage, John 15, we need Christ Jesus in order for there to be fruit on these otherwise barren trees. You and I need Christ Jesus every day. We need to walk with Christ Jesus, look to Christ Jesus, trust in Christ Jesus, live out of Christ Jesus. Here in this chapter, Jesus is bringing comfort to his disciples. I'm leaving you. I'm going to go to heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. In verse 18 of John 15, he speaks of the world's hatred. As they've hated me, they're going to hate you. Verse 20, as he talks about the persecution, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Oh, there is going to be a difficulty in living the Christian life in the world that we live in, and it's not getting easier. The world is not becoming more tolerant of Christians, but instead less tolerant. And they will become even less tolerant when the Antichrist comes. Can there still be joy in the midst of tribulation and hatred and persecution? The answer is yes. Yes, abiding in Christ Jesus. As Jesus comes here, as he comes to his disciples and he comes to us, he says, abide in me. He says, keep looking to me. Cling to me. Walk with me. Because there are things that can break joy in our lives. As we said, sin. Sin does that. Boys and girls, when you deliberately do something that your parents have forbid you to do, you have a hard time looking in their eye, don't you? You feel a little bit uncomfortable around them. What if they find out? When they find out? And even if they don't find out, inside you, you know that you did something wrong. So also the child of God, when we deliberately walk in sin, there's no joy. The temptations are such that the devil says, there's joy in it. Even if you're not married, engage in sex with the other person, there's pleasantness in it. The devil lies. Our flesh lies to us. do it. Do it, says the world and the devil and our flesh. There is no joy in sin. And there is no joy to the person that then covers up that sin and refuses to acknowledge the sin. But there's heaviness of heart. David calls it the drying up of my bones. There's no joy for those that refuse to repent of their sin and turn away from it. There's no joy. But there's just a complicated web of lies and deceit to try to cover it up. David did it, didn't he? He got another man's wife pregnant, and now to cover it up, he has that man killed. He makes it look like it's just an army exercise and the enemies did it. It's just a web of lies and deceit that's ongoing. Many sorrows. Disobedience brings not joy, but sorrow. Unbelief brings not joy, but sorrow. Turning your eye away from Christ Jesus, turning your eye away from His Word, turning your eye away from that standard for your faith and your walk doesn't bring joy. Doing what is right in your own eyes doesn't bring joy. It only brings grief. Brings sorrows and more sorrows. And so Jesus comes in His Word here and He says, abide in Me. Then My joy will remain in you. Too often, too often, we are influenced by circumstances around us, don't we? And we run around with our long faces or our dour looks. Too much defeat. Too much unhappiness. Does it need to be that way? Shouldn't we be rejoicing in all things? So Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Christ, as He faced the cross, as He hung there on the cross, as He suffered and He died for our sins, joy, joy in knowing that He was doing His Father's will. In John 14 and 15, Jesus there in this farewell statement to His disciples is talking about faithfulness and love and joy and obedience. They go together, don't they? Joy is linked with that. God's faithfulness to us, and then by His grace, our faithfulness to Him. God's love to us, and then our love returned to Him and our love to one another. Christ's obedience for us, and then by His Spirit, our obedience to Him, joy in doing the will of the Lord. The source is divine, isn't it? It's the fruit of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of Christ, the joy of God Himself worked in our hearts. As we abide in Christ Jesus, and only as we abide in Him. When we walk in sin, there's sorrow. May it be that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And then we can cry out also with David in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sorrow in our sins, but joy in the God of our salvation. Abiding in Christ. Now you ask, how exactly? How do we abide in Christ? That's the crux of the matter here in John 15, isn't it? That my joy may remain in you. How well does a friendship last with a person if you never talk to them, if you never hear from them? As the years roll along, that friendship fades into the background, doesn't it? You hardly know each other anymore or what's taking place. So also with this abiding in Christ, isn't it? The Christian religion is a relationship. It's not a matter of just going to church and doing so many things. It's a relationship that God has established with us in Christ Jesus, a relationship that we enjoy by faith. Abide in me, Christ says. That means prayerfully going to Him with all our troubles and our trials, everything in our life. Going to Him and asking for His grace, reading His word, abide in me. These things have I said unto you, that these words abide in you. The Spirit is going to come and He's going to lead them in the truth. The words of Christ Jesus. You and I will not abide in Christ, and then we will not have this joy remaining in us unless we are diligent in our study of the Word, God's love letter to us. And reading that love letter to us, we're filled with love for Him and therefore joy in Him. That is the key. That's the key to a godly life. Walking in His Word, being filled with the knowledge of the truth of God that's revealed there, knowing Him better, knowing who He is, what He has done, what He requires of us. Grow. Grow, O child of God, in the doctrines of the Reformation, the Reformed truth. In our prayer, we prayed for the Evangelism Committee. One of the topics for Bible study that has been suggested is doctrines of grace. Know those precious truths of God's grace to us and find joy in that knowledge. Joy. Joy that we're His children. Joy that we're saved. Joy in knowing the inheritance that's waiting for us. We cannot produce these things. God does it by His Spirit. Jesus does it as we abide in Him. Do you? Do you, child of God, have joy in your salvation? Is that the most important thing to you? Not your house, not your car, not even your husband or your wife or your family. The joy of your salvation in Christ Jesus. Young people, because you'll notice that while Christ is here talking about joy, in Galatians 5, verse 22, when the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about the friction that's in the church. And he says, live in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit that is love. You love and you serve one another, and there is joy in that. Is that your joy? The communion of saints, not how are they going to serve me, but how can I serve them and love them. Young people, I challenged you last week, didn't I? As you went to the convention, not just to look for your close friends, but be a friend to others. Did you find joy in giving? Joy in being a friend to perhaps someone that doesn't have many friends? Joy. Joy in your marriages and the spouse that God has given to you. Joy in the children God gives to you. And the joy that when you bring them for baptism, you claim God's promises. Joy. As you read the scriptures as a family or an individual, this God is mine. This is my God's word to me. And of course, as parents, we would quote John, wouldn't we? When in 3 John verse 4, no greater joy hath anyone than this, that his children walk in the truth. I know as a parent and as a grandparent, the joys this past week of seeing the faith of children or seeing the faith of grandchildren, or just this morning a little weak child like this asking a question of the pastor afterwards. Joy. Joy in one another as we abide in Christ, as we abide in His Word. Jesus says, these things have I said unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. That word full means complete. Not a matter of going around in life half happy and half sad. Not once in a while happy and usually sad. Not even most of the time happy and some of the time sad, but that your joy may be full, complete. Well, when's that? Well, that, of course, is only with our full deliverance into heaven. Then all the sorrows of this life and the troubles of this life and the sin of this life is over. Full joy when we come to heaven. That was the joy that was set before Christ as he endured the cross, the reward that he would receive. Full joy will be ours in heaven. But Jesus in this verse also wants us to have that complete joy now in this life. In this life when we live in the midst of a wicked world, letting our light shine, being hated for it and persecuted for it, may your joy be full. In other words, all the sorrows and all the troubles and trials of this present time cannot extinguish this joy. The desire of Jesus is that we have a full cup of joy, not a partial cup of joy. Full measure, lacking nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Boys and girls, do you remember that story of Paul and Silas? They were preaching in Philippi, cast a demon out of a young girl, and what do they get for it? They're thrown into prison. Were they angry at God? Were they angry at circumstances in their life? And the answer is no. Paul and Silas are singing in the middle of the night, sitting in that prison in their chains, because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ or to fill up the sufferings of Christ Jesus. The grounds for this full joy are not in ourselves, then, and it's not in circumstances, but it is in belonging to Christ. being filled with Christ, walking with Christ, doing Christ's will. Yes, Paul and Silas could sing with joy. We need to ask for that. If you look in your Bibles after John 15, John 16, Jesus says almost the same words, doesn't he? In John 16, verse 24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Joy in the Lord, joy in one another, joy in our salvation. That word joy means here delighting in. Delighting in. Spontaneous delight. Sharing delight in the same things. That's why that word is being used in Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. If in love we love one another as God's people, we delight in the same things, don't we? We delight in the same things. We delight in one another's fellowship. We delight in Christ Jesus. We delight together in the gospel. We delight in our salvation. We delight in God's precepts. We sing, "Oh, how love I thy law." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy in Christ Jesus, abiding in him. That joy ought to be steady and constant. I've said it before already tonight. Not once in a while. Not just on our best days. And we should not be running around with long faces because, well, this isn't my day. Things aren't going my way. In all things, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. As we read from Romans chapter 8, "For we know that all things work together for our good and for our salvation." All things. So you're not having a real good day? Someone treated you wrong? There's a sickness in the family that you're caring for, that family member, a death of a dear one? Yes, trials and difficulties in this life, Psalm 90, but a joy in knowing whose hand is directing every event in our lives, in whose hand we are. "These things I have told you," Jesus says, "that my joy may be in you, remain in you, and your joy will be full." Joy in the Lord. Is that what others see? Is that what others see in your relationship to Christ Jesus? Is that something that they ask you about? Give us the reason for the hope that is within you. Joyful. Joyful in the Lord. That means, beloved, when our text begins with those words, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full," that we need grace. That we need grace to heed the things that Christ has spoken. Not turning our eyes to the circumstances, not turning to the eyes to the hatred or the persecution, but our eyes on what Christ has said, his word hidden in our heart. Joy, abounding joy in the Lord. Joy also in the love of one another, as we share in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, so many different circumstances in our life and so much sin in our lives that brings sorrow. But we sorrow not as those who have no hope. For we look and we believe and we cling to Jesus Christ. We abide in Him and He abides in us. And our joy is full. May that joy, O Lord, radiate in our lives, that children may see it of their parents in the home, that husbands and wives may see it in each other, that we as thy people may see it and experience it together in the communion of saints, and that this world sees joy in Christ Jesus in our relationship with thee. Amen. Let's turn in our songbooks to number 262. 262. Taken from Psalm 98, joyful all ye people, sing before the Lord, shout and sing his praises, now in glad accord. We'll sing all three stanzas. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit
be yours. Amen.